this last week. My wife and I had been just really putting in lots and lots of hours. She works full time. I work full time. And in 1 week, the week of district council, not only did I have that and she worked full time and both of my daughters work full time, and the congregation at Merit Assembly of God went above and beyond the call of duty in getting ready for that Let It Go event. And it was good to meet some of the Refresh Radio listeners out there. But the congregation pushed really hard. We took Memorial Day off that Sunday night before Memorial Day off. And then my wife and I went away just to be able to recharge, as well as to celebrate our anniversary. And so I want to come and share this lesson with you. And believe me, when I say that I'm thankful for the saints at Merit Assembly of God, I truly am. They are incredible people. They put in lots and lots of hours. And we are blessed and privileged to not only know them, but to serve with them. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12 says this: "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Now, we've already gone over the verses after that. What I want to start off today is pointing out to you that Paul here writes that the Lord had opened a door for him. Now, there were other instances where the door was closed. There was times when the Holy Spirit closed the door. There were times that Satan stood in opposition to him. But Paul specifically says that there was a door that had been opened for him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus has a way of opening doors that no man could open. He has the ability to close doors that no man can prevent from being closed. And so I want to present to you today that Jesus Christ is your doorkeeper. He's the gatekeeper. He opens doors and he closes doors, and we should be just as ecstatic when he opens a door as we are when he closes a door. I'll never forget hearing that when I was at church. Because he is the one who grants us access and positions us where he wants us, we need to be thankful that he does such a great job. So whether it's an open door or a closed door, we rejoice. Now, what I want to share with you here is that Paul, out of his own mouth, anointed by the Holy Spirit to utter these words, says, "This was a door of ministry that God had opened to me." But he said, "When I got there, I didn't find the person that I thought I would find there. I did not find Titus, my brother, there. And so I left and went on to Macedonia." So today I want to start off by saying that if you have ever been in a situation where maybe you made an emotional decision, maybe you made a financial decision, maybe you had been strategically placed by God, but you had moved on from that place, you allowed something that is temporal or something that was relational to shift you from that place that God had opened up for you, that you are not alone. You're not the first person that ever has done that. Paul can identify with that. I can identify with that. You know, I remember there was a time when I was young, my dad got upset at my job, and so in order for me to honor my father, I left a job that was was treating me really well. I was probably on my way to management in that situation, which would have made a big difference in my financial life a little later on down the road. But right then I was going to college and all of that sort of stuff. And so I'm thankful that God always leads his people in triumphal procession. That's what Paul concludes, because he goes on and he says, "But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." What Paul is saying is, I may have walked away from a door that God had opened for me, but that did not mean that God was not able to lead me right back into the position that he had for me next. Paul was an itinerant minister. He was always pioneering new ground. He was preaching the gospel where it had never been preached before. He was going and doing signs and wonders, so he never wanted to build upon another man's foundation. And what he said here is, I may have closed a door that God had opened for me, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Always, always, always. So my situation is, I believe that God determines the times and the places that we are supposed to be there. So me moaning and complaining about something is not going to do any good. My wife was fasting and praying one time because she wanted our marriage to be rock solid. And my company had been taken over by a different company. And suddenly I found myself working a lot more hours, and she was saying, "You know what, God, this is not the way that you intend for our family dynamic to be, where he is away all of the time and he misses out on all of these milestone events." So she wasn't complaining. She set about to fast and pray about the situation. And God began to move, and God moved in a triumphant manner in our life, although it looked like a setback at the time. It was a financial setback, but it strategically positioned us. There was a time when I was like, "Well, God, this looks like a door that is closing, and that's not good." And it was a door that was closing, but it wasn't because it was bad that the door was closing. It was good that the door was closing. I've had a number of doors in my life that absolutely shut. You know, I at one point in time had sent out 200 resumes trying to find the position that God would have us to serve the body of Christ. And out of all of those 200 resumes, I got no responses. I sent them to Alaska. I sent them to North Dakota, 50 miles south of the Canadian border. I know, because I looked it up on the map. Places that I don't want to go. But I was like, "God, if you open up the door for me, then that's where I will go." But you know what God did? It was he worked in secular employment. He worked in the retail environment, and he brought me and he positioned me to a place. And when he did that, I said, "Now, God, I just want to remind you, you have called me into ministry, so we're willing to go wherever you position us. As you lead us, we're willing to go, but I've got to constantly remind myself that you've called me into ministry. And so, God, you've got to, if you're closing this door and you're opening this door, you're also going to need to open a door of ministry." So when we came to Florida, we didn't know anyone, and we went to church, and it was the first Sunday that we went to church. If you were to ask us about that particular church on that first Sunday, we would tell you that from an analyst point of view, just about everything that could have gone wrong that day at that church did go wrong. But our responsibility was not to go where people behaved the way that we thought that they would. We ended up attending that church for 3 years, serving in that church for 3 years, loving those people for 3 years. But if we had allowed our emotions to close that door, we would have been out of position. So don't be governed by the failures of a local church. They didn't greet me at the door. You know, they didn't sing my favorite song. You know, don't be governed by those things. We took our son to the nursery at that point in time, and nobody even said anything in the nursery. I mean, my wife was just pretty much ignored during that day. But you know what? None of that matters when you say, you know what? God has called us here. He has positioned us here. I had a person one time that said, you know, there's some things that you could use as justification to relocate, but I have a question for you, and that is this. Has God called you here, and has God told you that it is time to leave? And in both of those situations, the answer was yes to the call and no to leaving. I want you to know that Jesus always leads his people in triumph. I can look back at times when maybe I was discouraged and thought about, you know, God, this you've got to have a different place available for us. And if I had closed the door that God had opened, I would have missed out on some of the best blessings that my life has ever had. I would have missed out on some great battles, you know, and disappointments and hurts and wounds and all of that. But ultimately, it's not about any of that. It is about where has the commander-in-chief placed you. So I want to remind you that as God leads you, he will always lead you to victory, and the devil will always lead you to defeat. God will always lead you in victory, and the devil will always lead you in defeat. So make sure that you always allow God to lead you, because just by following him, you are going to, as we talked about earlier in an earlier program, through you diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. That means that when you're on vacation, you're meant to be an ambassador of Christ. When you're at work, you're meant to be an ambassador of Christ. Wherever he leads you, even if at times there was a time where I was traveling a road I'd traveled before, I made a wrong turn. And I was like, God, it's been such a long day. It was like a 12 or 13 hour day. Lots of time. Well, it was longer than that, because it was a 6 hour trip each way, plus the time to load the trailer and all of that. And as I did all of that, I made a wrong turn. And I was like, seriously, I can't believe I made a wrong turn. Well, I found out that in making a wrong turn, that I had been spared going or possibly getting involved in a horrific accident. And so don't complain. If you've made a wrong turn, repent. Ask God, God, you opened a door, I closed it. You set the table, I messed it up. But God, would you put me back into place? Would you cause me to get back on the path? God, I want you to always be the one who leads me, not my emotions, not my finances, not relationships, not any of that other stuff. I want to be led by you so that I can be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You know, I've had a number of people that have come through the years and then relocated. Merit Assembly of God seems to have a very transient population that there's a lot of people that come and stay for a season, and then they move to a different part of the state, different part of the county, different part of the country, or different part of the world for that matter. We've had people that have done all of those things. And the one thing that I want to ask people every time that they say, or as I'm having a conversation with them, I want to hear them say, God has led us to do this. A lot of people make family decisions. The one group of people that I've never questioned are those in the military, and they get orders, and their commander says, you are no longer going to serve at this base. You are now going to serve at this base. And we salute their service because they are people under authority. But all of us are people under authority, and we should be saying, God, you be the commander in chief. You pick my duty assignment. You pick the time of my service. And I know this, wherever you lead, it is always going to lead us in triumphal procession. Now, I want to take you here at the end of the program. So to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 13. So then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I want to encourage you that no matter how challenging or how difficult the living conditions may get for believers here on earth, don't ever deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever deny him. Don't forsake him for just a little bit more time here on earth. Because there's no promise that you have that if you do deny him, that those people are going to show you any more mercy after that than they did before. So, this is specifically talking about people who are martyred during the time of the Great Tribulation, and their sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And it says in verse number 15 that they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Okay? And so praise God for that. I don't know about you, but I long to spend eternity around the throne room of God. Now, I will say this. If you don't ever spend time around the King here when you're in control of your time, what makes you think that you are going to enjoy spending time around the throne when you get to heaven? There's a disconnect there intellectually. So I want to encourage you to make it a regular practice to come before the throne of grace to spend time in the presence of God, because that's what our eternity looks like. And eternity is not just in the future. Eternity stretches all the way to times past, all the way to times future, and it includes this little bubble right now. And so we should be longing to serve God, and we should be longing to spend time in his presence. And it says that as a result of he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. Here's the reason why. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them. Now, as I was doing some preparation for this, a commentary that I read said it's very interesting, the word picture here, that the Lamb will be the shepherd. And we do know that Jesus is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. We do know that he is the chief shepherd, and that he will shepherd his people. He will shepherd them and lead them. And the New King James says here, to living fountains of water. And a footnote at the bottom of that page says, lead them to fountains of the waters of life. Fountains of the waters of life. And the emphasis there is on the life aspect. Now, I will tell you that Jesus will always lead you to ultimate life, abundant life, jubilant life. The devil will always lead you to death, separation. Okay? The emphasis is on life. He said that he is going to lead us to where God is our source. He's going to lead us where the ultimate satisfaction of man's spiritual longings will be satisfied. Okay? And then it says this, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The Lamb will lead us as a shepherd. He will lead us to the fountains of the waters of life. I recently was in a service, and the person said, when the scripture says that out of his innermost being shall flow rivers or fountains of living water, he said, those fountains are for us. They're for our benefit. And so I want you to see that you're not just going on a heavenly camping trip here. You're going to the place where life is, where we meet the source of life. We are positioned to where life is constantly flowing through us. After district council and that Let It Go rally, I discovered a level of fatigue that I had not experienced in a while, and it was physical, it was mental, it was emotional. I mean I was just spent, and so I said, you know what? I'm going to go away. I'm going to spend some time with God. And I had spent time with God during that stretch, but I wanted to go back and position myself where the waters of life were going to flow into me and flow through me. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I want you to get a picture of what the Lamb will lead you. He's going to lead us to a place where we are not going to have any more sorrow or any more grief or any more heartache. Heaven is pictured here where the saints of God are content in the presence of God. And all of the pain and all of the heartache and all of the hurt of the past is wiped away, and all of those tears are gone. Now, I want to contrast that with the way that Jesus describes an eternity without him. And that is this. He says that it will be a place where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you, but when I think that God always wants to lead me to victory and the devil always wants to lead me to defeat, and God wants to lead me to joy and peace and wholeness and holiness in his presence, and the devil wants to lead me into darkness, into discouragement, hopelessness, pain, suffering, anguish and mourning, of which there is no relief. I tell you, it makes me want to make a decision, not just for eternity, but for today, and say, God, lead me today. Lead me today. Lead me in victory. Lead me to that place where I don't have any regrets. Lead me to that place where I can diffuse the fragrance of Christ wherever you lead me. because you don't just want me to experience life in your presence. You want everyone I come in contact with to as well. God bless you. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Program. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Oh, Christ, be the center of our life. The place we fix our eyes, be the center of our lives. You're the center of the universe, everything was made in you. Jesus, breath of every living thing, everyone was made for you. You hold everything together, you hold everything together. Oh, Christ, be the center. For you.